Okay, we're starting here in the Mishnah on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph, the new Perek. Mishnah says, Ma'ot shenimtzu ben ashkalim lenidava. So if you find monies that are between the shofarot, that stucco boxes, that were meant for the shkalim, to those that were meant for the nidavot, here you have a question as to regards to the 13 different shofarot or stucco boxes that were there in the Mikdash. What happens if there's money on the floor between those boxes? So the Mishnah tells us, if it's karov lishkalim, closer to the kalim box, yiplu lishkalim, it goes there. Linidava, if it's closer to nava, yiplu the nidava, goes to the nava. Mechza la mechza, if it's halfway exactly or it's indeterminate, yiplu linidava, then it goes to the nidava. So here the assumption being that the nidava is more chamur than the shkalim. The shkalim are used for the korbanot tzibur, which include both olot and chatot. In addition to that, there's shairei alishka from the shkalim. It's not everything goes to korbanot zibor, the stuff that is left over. Whereas when it comes to nidava, everything there ends up in the mizbeach and everything is an olah. So if we're going to choose which side to go to, monies go to the nidava side because that is the more chamur side. Next case is benitzim levona. If it's between the shofar for itzim and the shofar for levona, krov the itzim, yiplu the itzim. It's closer to the wood, then it goes to the wood box. Lelevona, closer to the frankincense, ipo lelevona, it falls into the box for the levona. Mechza la mechza, if it's right in the middle, ipolu lelevona. Then we choose levona. Then the more chamur, itzim are only machshirei karban. They facilitate the ability to bring karbanot. Levona is actually something that goes on the mizbeach itself. Ben kinin legozleola. Between the shofar that says kinim and says goes leola, karov the kinin, yipalu the kinin. The one that is closer to the kinin, it falls to the kinin. If it's found closer to the goes leola, it falls into the goes leola box. Mechza la mechza. If it's right in between the two of them, yipalu the goes leola. Then we opt for goes leola. Now this is alpi the chachamim in the previous Mishnah, because if you believe that kinim and goes leola are just different species of birds that are brought, then there would be no reason to put it in one or the other. They're both the same. It doesn't matter. Karin and Bnei Yonah don't really make a difference. But this is according to the Chachamim who say that Kinin are one Chatat and one Olah, and Gozle Allah are all Olot. So over here, if I have a choice between putting it into the Kinin box, which involves a Chatat and an Olah, or putting it into the Gozle Olah box, which are all Olot, I'm going to opt for the Gozle Allah box because that is more chamur. You end up with the more olot on the mizbeach. Ben chulin the maser shini. Obviously, this is not talking about in the mikdash. It's talking about in your house. You have a box of money for chulin, a box of money for maser shini. Karov the chulin, you pull the chulin. You find money closer to the chulin box, then you put it into the chulin box. The maser shini, you find it closer to the maser shini box, you pull the maser shini. Then you put it in the maser shini box. Mechza the mechza, it's right in between, you pull the maser shini. Goes to maser shini because obviously that's more chamur than chulin. Zakra. Here is the principle that's laid out in the Mishnah. Hoche machara karov. Lahakel ulahachmir. Karov dictates whether it's the kula, whether it's the lenient side, or whether it's the chumra side. It's irrespective of what that outcome means. If it's closer to that item, that's what dictates. Mechza la mechza. When it's right in the middle, then you go the hachmir. Then you only pick the chumra side, because there you have indecision. And the indecision, we'd opt for the chumra over the kula. So Karov can override the issue of Chumra and Kula because it's more determinant. It's there. It's closer. It must have fallen from there. We assume it came from there. That's the most likely scenario, and therefore goes back into that box. Mechza la mechza, there you have a problem because you have no way to be machri over here. So then we go the Chumra. Pick the side that is the Chumra. Now, in terms of the Mishnah is problematic. You know, we can read through it and it seems totally fine. The Mishnah is problematic because of the layout of the shofarot. The layout of the shofarot in the Mikdash we had in the previous Mishnah were Tiklin Chadatin, Tiklin Atikin, for the new shekel, the old shekel, Kinin, Gozle Ola, Itzim, Livona, Zahava Kaporet, and then the Nidava. The first case in the Mishnah was if it fell between the Shkalim and the Nidava. Well, the Tiklin Chadatin and Tiklin Atikin are all the way to the right, and the nidava is all the way to the left. They should never cross. The other case is there. Ben etzim lulevona. That is possible based on the layout that we have over here. Ben kizlei ola lekinin. Also is possible based on the layout that we have. So the only one that is problematic is the first case, which is between the shkalim and the nidava. So now the Gemara asks that question, or basically poses it. The Gemara says, lo tzurcha, should probably be the word here, lo tzurcha dela, which is the equivalent of de'ela. That's dela. Ben shkalim the kinim. Lo utzurcha. Don't we need a case that discusses between shkalim the kinim? Because the way it's laid out is tiklin chadatin, Tiklin Atikin, then Kinin. So the first case in the Mishnah, or the case that the Mishnah should have brought is, don't we need the Mishnah to address this case of between Shkalim and Kinim? Why is it addressing a case of between Shkalim and Nedava instead of between Shkalim and Kinim? So Rabbi Abon b'shem Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Abon in the name of Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Abon, a fifth generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael, says the name of Rabbi Pinchas, a fourth generation Amora, that it was Kimin. What we have in our Gemara is our Bochliar, Ayuosim. Seems to be that the original was Kochlius, which means a shavlul, snail in Hebrew. It's a Greek word. It also might have to do with the cochlear in the ear as well. It does make a difference which word you use here, because the Gemara is answering the question about how is it possible that we're discussing between Shkalim and Nedava, and not Shkalim and Kinin. The answer is that it's set up in a different way than we thought. We thought they were set up in a straight line. That's not the case. These shofarot, or these stucco boxes, were set up as a circle. That would be if you used the word bochliar. If you use the word cochleus, cochleus is the shell of a snail, means that they were concentric circles, circled inside of a circle. If you think it's just a circle, then it's fine, because the Shkalim and the Nedava would touch on the other side. Because as you started from the Shkalim and you came all the way around to Nedava, the closing of the circle will be between the Shkalim and Nedava, because they're at either end. On the other hand, if you believe that they are concentric circles, like the shell of the snail, cochlear, then the explanation would be that the first seven are on the outside. The six, which are the Nedava, are on the inside. So that means that anything can touch a Nedava because the Nedavot are on the inside. Those are the two possible ways to explain the Gemara here. So now, Gemara says, Mechsa le Mechsa, Iplu le Nedava. So if it's half and half, it goes to Nedava. Lo Tzurcha Dela, Mechsa le Mechsa, Iplu le Shkalim. How come we don't say, or how come the Mishnah doesn't take up the possibility that it should go to the Shkalim? What gives the idea that Nedava is more Chamur than Shkalim? Shkalim end up on the Mizbeach, and so do Nedavot end up on the Mizbeach. Karbonot Zibur, Kodshei Kodashim. Why is there a Chumrah to put it in the box of Nidava and not to put it into the Shkalim box? So here we have three answers, one of which is missing from our Gemaras. First answer is, It Dibayin Meimar Shea Nidava Miruba. One answer is that it has to do with the Rov. We have here a determination of Karov, which says, first of all, I look at what's closer. I'm stuck on Mechsa, Mechsa. The next level of determination is Rov. What's the majority? What is the item that comes more frequently or more often or has a larger number over here? Then, if I don't have any solution to that, then I move on to the next solution, which is Mechsa, Mechsa is the Chumrah. So the first suggestion is, if I look at Nidava, I'm dealing with six boxes of Nidava, one box or two boxes of Shkalim. In addition to that, I'm also dealing with a larger number of times that people bring up Nidavot, then they're going to bring up Shkalim. So because of that, that's the determining factor over here. The reason we put it into the Nedava box is just because Rov. It's the majority. That's the first answer. Then we have the second answer, which we have here, is It Dibayim Eimar, Shemi Yiplu L'Sharei Alishka. This is what I mentioned in the Mishnah. There's no guarantee that if you ended up in the shekel box, that your shekel is going to end up with a korban. You could be part of the shkalim that get left over. And those leftovers don't necessarily go on the Mizbeach. So there for sure Nedava would be more chamur, because Nedava for sure ends up on the Mizbeach. Either by the Memar, Mechsa le Mechsa, Kemisha Mate. And Mechsa le Mechsa is like it died. Now, like it died here, they don't give you enough information. Kemisha Mate means the person who owned the shekel. If a person mafrish the shekel for the Mikdash and doesn't get it there yet, what do you do with that shekel? Misha hifrishik lo, the mate, what's the din? We had this twice before in our Masechta. Amar Rabbi Yasa, which is Rabbi Yasi, the third generation of Mofer, and Ad Ana Taman. While I was still there meaning in Bavel, Shamit Kal Rav Yehuda, I heard Rav Yehuda, who Sha'al Lishmuel, Rav Yehuda, Talmud of Rav, Talmud of Shmuel, second generation of Amor in Bavel, I heard Rav Yehuda posing this question to Shmuel, Hifrish Shiklo, person who separates out his shekel, umeit, and then dies, Amarle, Shmuel responded to him, Iplu Nidava, then it falls in Nidava. So that's exactly what the Gemara is suggesting over here, that there's no difference between them. There's no difference between a shekel that I find between the boxes and a shekel which was separated out and the balim disappeared or died. So when the balim died, what happens to it? Iplu nedava. If shekel falls between the boxes, it's mechsa lemechsa. Okay, let it go to the shekel box. But it's equivalent if the shekel doesn't have an owner. This money is equivalent without an owner, and therefore it falls to Nidava. Right? Even if it was a shekel, the determination of something without an owner is that it goes to Nidava. So that's the answer given here. That's the third possible answer as to why we put it in the Nidava box and not in the Shekalim box. The next line in the Gemara is clearly unnecessary, out of place. The likelihood is that the two prior times that we quoted this from Shmuel, they also quoted this section afterwards, and it got lifted and brought over here because otherwise there's no reason for it to be here. It has no relevance to our Gemara, our Mishnah whatsoever, which is Motar Asirita Ifa Shelo. The Motar Asirita Ifa Shelo, Shelo means of the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol. This is the Minchat Chavitim of a Kohen that's going to service or of the Kohen Gadol each day. If you had excess monies from that, what do you do with those excess monies? Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Yolichem Liyam HaMelech. It goes to Yam HaMelech. Rabbi Lazar, the second generation Amora peer of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar Bedat Amar Yipulu Nidavah. They go into the Nidava box. Alright, it's relevant because it's Iplu the Nidava and it's connected to the previous case, but has nothing to do, doesn't add anything for us here, and doesn't give us any more information that we wouldn't have had it skipped it. So it seems to be it was just written because the previous time that this Din HaShmuel was quoted, this was the next Memra afterwards. Right now we have Vikasha. Kasha, the question. Doesn't tell you what the question's on. The question is on Ben Kinim the Gozlei Olah. When we have the case where the money falls between the kinim and the gozlei olah, we said that if it's mechza mechza, it goes to the gozlei olah. Problem with that, there are a number of problems of that. Number one is, v'esh chatat kreva olah. If the money really belonged in the kinim box, now what I have is money that was designated for an olah and a chatat, now it's getting brought over to be to olot. Since when can a chatat just turn into an olah? How does that happen? How does that work? So Chizkiah, fourth generation Amora, B'Shem, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Ish Lakish, second generation Amora, Tanai, Beitin, Hu, Ala Motorot, Jikruvu Olot. That is, a Tanai Beitin that the excess monies will be brought as Olot. It's not necessarily literally a Tanai Beitin, it's an early Takana, and because of the Takana, that the Chachamim say that Motorot go to the Olah, it's as if there is a Tanai Beitin built into it. Once you establish the Takana, that all excesses go to the Olah, then anytime somebody buys mafrish money for a chatat, it's as if it's built into that. Whatever excess is here will go to the olah. So it becomes as if it's tanai beitin within that object. It's true here throughout the masechta every time we use this tanai beitin. Because the default set of mind when someone is mafrish is alpi that takana of the beitin, therefore becomes like it's tanai beitin. Throughout the masechta we mentioned this before. We had this by the motrot of the karbonot tzibur. Motrot the karbonot tzibur over there. We said tanai beitin that motrot karbonot tzibur go the olot. So that is the same idea. There's a takana like that. Therefore, it becomes embedded in any purchase. So over here, it's embedded. Anybody brings a chatat that if it's excess, then it goes to the olot, or that can be converted to olot. And the Gemara says, okay, you solved the problem with the money, but what about haisha hazot v'mehi mitkaperet? There's a problem here. We know that we said before, if money goes into the box, we assume that the woman the next morning is okay to eat kodashim. She's a mechusarei kapara. The Kohen took care of it. There's rizim. She doesn't have to check. She can eat the next morning as if it's done. Now all of a sudden, if this money did really fall out of the kinim box, this woman's not getting her kapara. And how is she eating kodashim? We have a problem here. What's going to happen for this woman? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, second, third generation of Morinich, so Rabbi Yitzchak Nafko, Tanai Beitin Hu. It's a condition of Beitin. Now here, the Tanai Beitin is more like a contract or the contractual agreement between them and the Safak, the supplier, which is HaMesapek et HaKinim, someone who provides the Kinim, Hu Mesapek et HaPsulot vet HaAvudot. We're missing the words HaAvudot, you can see the Gra adds it back in. That the person who supplies the Kinim also supplies the Psulot. If any of the birds are Pasul, he's got to replace them. Vet HaAvudot, if any of them get lost, then you have to replace them. The Safak, in part of his deal, or part of his contract, is that if it doesn't get to the Mizbeach because it's Pasul, or it doesn't get to the Mizbeach because it was lost, he will provide a replacement for it. So then that's the question here. What Shaul is raising is the exact question over here. What does that mean for this situation? Does it mean that the Safak's on the hook for this money as well? Here, this is the equivalent of Avudot. Since the equivalent of Avudot, therefore, it's no fault coverage. He's got to provide a new one. The money fell out. He's just got to supply an extra set of birds. Actually, here it's really one bird because the other two were going to go to Olot. So the Olah she's covered for.
You were talking about the money. No one came to buy them.
Correct. That's right. So that's the question here. This money should have gone towards the birds. And since we don't know, he provides everything that is a safek. All right. So that's what they're saying, that it's part of the contract, is that if monies are mixed up over here, that he's going to provide the birds. The Olot goes. So the Olah is covered. He needs one bird, which is a safek chatat. Safek chatat, which will bring brought ala safek, the only chatat can be brought ala safek, which means it's brah b'na'a lo ne'achal, because nothing goes on the mizbeach from it, so that's why it's okay. So you bring a chatat ala safek, but he provides it. That would be the conclusion from the Gemara over here, which is that the safak's on the hook for this, that's part of his contractual obligations. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Eger points out over here that the Bar Tanura has a different explanation in the Mishnah with regards to this. The Bar Tanura in the Mishnah says, B'shem Yushalmi, he quotes it from the Yushalmi, the Beit Din Amumunim Alakinim Luchim Mishel Tzibur. This is David's question over here. What do you mean? Why is the supplier on the hook here? This has nothing to do with the supply. This has to do with the Beit Din. And the Beit Din's on the hook to pay out of the Tzibur. Fiotan Ma'ot Shinim Tzu. Based on the money that is found. Umekanino Tala Baal Hama'ot. And then they give it over to the possession of the Baal Hama'ot. So he says, I think Nira Shailo Girsa Acheretkan. He says, I think the Bar Tanura has had a different Girsa because I don't see that in our Gemara. So he must have a different gears than the Yushami. You can't read that out of the Yushami. Truth is, maybe you can read out of the Yushami because of David's question. Just like the sapaks on the hook, so it's over here. Who's responsible for the monies in the boxes? Beit Din. So they're on the hook for that. So it's a similar type of idea. You could read it into here. The question is then, how come over here the Bar Tanura doesn't disagree that by the sapak, or Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's din, that the sapak's on the hook for the other things? Why don't we say over there that with Tzibur supplies them? Why is the sapak supplying them? So he says over there, that's based on the Gemara that we saw earlier, that the suppliers don't get paid until the Mizbeach Merutzeh. They don't get paid until the Mizbeach gets it. So in the case of lost birds, in the case of the puzzle birds, the Mizbeach is not Merutzeh. So he can't get paid. That's why he's got to supply a new bird. But over here, in our case, there was no issue of Ritzui Mizbeach, because what happened to the money? The money went to Gozlei Olam. So they do end up in the Mizbeach. The money does get taken care of, does, and the Mizbeach is Merutzeh. So from the tzad of Mizbeach Menutzeh, the sapak's not on the line here. And that's how the Rabbi Kiva Eger explains that position of the Bar Tanura here. Basically, why there are two different dinim. One din for the lost and the pasul, and another din for the monies that are in between. But anyway, that's the Bar Tanura's explanation, which is slightly different from what would come out from our Gemara if you just read the Gemara without knowing what he says. Next, the Gemara says another thing again. Lo tzurcha dela. Again, why is it that the Mishnah didn't say this? Now, usually this type of terminology in the Yushalmi, which is lo tzurcha dela, means I want to replace. I have something in the Mishnah, and I want to replace it. That's not what's going to happen over here. Here the question is, why aren't these items mentioned in the Mishnah? They are absent completely from the Mishnah. So in that case, the normal Lashon of the Yushalmi is v'lama lo taninan. Why do we not have written in the Mishnah? So that's probably what should have been here. Probably got written as lo tzurcha dela because the other two cases before had exactly that language. It probably just got lifted out. So it's more likely that it should be v'lama lo taninan rather than lo tzurcha dela. It says, Ben, now ketoret is clearly wrong here. There is no box of ketoret. In the 13 boxes, there's not a single box that has ketoret written on it. So that's clearly incorrect over here. You have to replace it with something. You can see that the gra replaces it with kinin and others replace it with nidava. So why don't we have, based on the fact that you now said that these boxes are in a circle or concentric circles. So now, if you're in concentric circles, it makes more sense to put in nidava here, because then you have ben nidava leitzim, ben nidava lelivona, and ben nidava lezahava kaporet. All of those are fair questions, because the seven are on the outside and the six nidava are on the inside. That means that any one of these items could have touched in nidava. If that's the case, then why aren't these cases mentioned in the Mishnah? Nidava against Itzim, Nidava against Libunah, Nidava against Lazav Kaporet. The Gra's explanation is based on the fact that it was circular and not concentric circles. Therefore, the question here is, why don't we ask about between Kinim and Itzim, which are the next two? And then Livona and Zahav Ketoret. It's two separate questions. One is, the Mishnah should have mentioned between Kinim and Eitzim. They were adjacent to each other. And between Livona and Zahav Kaporet, which are also adjacent to each other. Depending on what you thought the before was Buchliar or Kuklius, will make a difference on how you read this Gemara over here. But you read it as two separate questions, or you read it as Ndavav versus all the other items because they're in concentric circles. So the Gemara answer is, Vitinita Bisofa. The Mishnah covers it in the end. The Mishnah covers the end, which is Zaklau. Gives you the general principle, which is Ochim Achara Karov. If it's closer, we go after the closer one. Mechsa Mechsa Lachmir. If it's halfway, then we go to Chumrah. So in each of these cases, you have to look at which is the Chumrah over here, and then determine based on that which one it should go to. Right. So then your question, which is a fair question, is why are the three cases in the Mishnah mentioned? Because the three cases in the Mishnah are cases where it's not clear what the answer should be. In the case of kinim goes to Ola, we know which one is chamur, but we run into a problem with the kinim because of the problem. How can you switch a katat into an ah? How does the woman get taken care of? In the case of Shkalim Nedava, we didn't know. The Gemara had to bring three different answers as to why you pick Nedava over Shkalim. It's not obviously. One goes to the Karbanot Tzibur, one goes to the Karbanot Tzibur. So how do I know what to do with it in that case? And the case between Eitzim and Levona, that might be the only one where it's an obvious case. Maybe you didn't need to bring it over there. Right, that maybe that builds the general principle, which is between Eitzim and Levona, one's a Machshir and one is the Korban itself. All right, next, Mishnah. Ma'ot shenimtzu lifnei socharei behema. Now this is going to be familiar to you because this Mishnah is actually quoted in the Bavli. It's quoted in the Bavli in Gemara Pesachim. We saw it more recently. It's also quoted in the Bavli in Baba Metzia with regards to a Metziah. And over here, it sets out the rules with regards to mitziot and rov, which is ma'ot shenimtzu lifnei socharei behema. Monies that are found in front of the animal merchants. These are merchants in Yerushalayim that are selling animals. The olam ma'aser. They're always considered to be ma'aser sheni money. The Gemara will discuss it, but because the ala rov, people who come to Yerushalayim with monies of ma'aser sheni. And what do they do with that? The best way to deal with your ma'aser sheni money is to purchase a shlamim with that money. That's the ultimate, the best way to deal with your ma'aser sheni money. So if I go to the socharei behema, the merchants that are selling their behemot, then I assume money that was falling down in front of them comes from ma'aser sheni. It was all the people that came there that were buying from them. It could be that it fell from the socharei behema themselves, but who's the rov? The rov are the purchasers here, not the seller. And so based on that, the money that we assume in front is monies that came from Meiser Sheni. Harabait, you find money on Harabait, chulin. The assumption is that it is chulin. The reason, the Bavli mentions this as well in Bava Metzia, is that on Harabait, they did not sweep Harabait. They didn't sweep Harabait for two reasons. One is because it was high up and the wind blew across it, so it cleaned it anyway. And number two is that people didn't walk there with their shoes. You weren't allowed to walk there with your shoes on when you went out to Harabait. So they didn't have to worry about the dirt so much. There wasn't so much dirt or dust because people weren't coming with their shoes. For that reason, they did not sweep Harabait. That means if you find money on Harabait, it could be from any time during the year. Well, any time during the year means, a la rov, the money that is found on Harabait is considered to be chulin. Now, it's chulin because majority of the year, people are carrying around chulin money. Number two is, on Harabait itself, most of the money that there is chulin money. First of all, you're not even allowed to bring in your money pouch or purse anyway. So any money that you were carrying was most likely money that you were intending to give as a donation or to purchase something with. And therefore, the money is most likely chulin money. That's the assumption of the Gemara here, that the money that was there was chulin, and we can't look at the whole year. And so because of that, if you find money on Harabait, it is chulin.
There's always bring money on Harabait. They've already designated.
Right, so if they lost it, they can redeem it, which is the most likely thing. If you lose your money that's designated for something, you would redeem it onto another money to take care of the problem. Uvi Yushalayim, Bishar Ko Yimot Hashana, Yushalayim all year round, Chulin. Whatever money you find there is Chulin. Yushalayim, they swept every day. They swept every day, the Gemara tells us, because of the fear of Tumah, Shvatzim, and therefore they went through to get rid of the Tumah, to get rid of the Shvatzim. So they sweep it every day. So because of that, every day is a new day. So during Shayimot Hashana, the rest of the year, you can assume it fell that day. And for the rest of the year, we assume the money was chulin. Over the Shar, by Regel, if it's Peshat the Regel, if it's during the Regel, then I'll call Maaser. Then we assume the majority of the money in Yerushalayim on the Regel is Maaser Sheni. And the money you found that today is Maaser Sheni money. Because we only look at today. So when you're looking at the perspective of the money, it's only about today. And today we know the rove of the money in Yerushalayim is Maaser Sheni when it's the Regel. On Harabait, you have a broader perspective. They didn't sweep it. So the money could be from the Regel, or it could be Shar Kol Yemot Hashana, and therefore you go by the majority of the rest of the year. Basar shenimtza ba'azara. Meat, basar, flesh that's found in the azara. Ivarin, if it's cut up into limbs, olot. Then the assumption is olot, because that's what you do. Everything, the things that cut up into limbs is because the whole thing is going on the mizbech. You don't have to separate between the bones and the flesh. V'chatichot, if it's cut up, like the butcher cuts it up, and it's made into edible pieces of meat, then chataot, the assumption is it's chataot, hashemot, it's kodshei kodashim, that go to the Kohen to eat. So that's the assumption there. Ubi Yerushalayim, if you find meat in Yerushalayim, then zivchei shlamim. The assumption is that it belongs to a shlamim, because the majority of meat that was in Yerushalayim was for a shlamim. Bezeh, bezeh, what do you do with it? Tubar tzurato, b'yitzei the beit ha-sreifa. You'll leave it for lina, and it goes out to the beit ha-sreifa. The Gemara will discuss why. It is that it goes out to the Beit HaSrifa. Why can't you eat it? If that's the rov, why isn't that enough to allow you to eat this item? So that the Gemara will discuss. Nimtza b'gvulin. You find meat outside of the Mikdash. Out in the city, here in Beit Shemesh, you find a piece of meat. Evarim. If you find it cut up into limbs, you can assume it's nevelot. Limbs means like a gross cut, bigger cuts. It's something that you wouldn't sell in that manner. It's not the way that the butcher would deal with the meat. So if it's like that, the assumption is nebelo, he cut it up to get rid of it because he couldn't sell it for meat. The other hand, chatichot, if it's cut up into proper quarters, hinds, legs, so on and so forth, then it's assumed to be mutarot, and the meat is mutar because we assume that that's meat that came from the butcher. Again, we'll have to discuss what the circumstances are exactly. Bishkat regel, it's in the time of the regel, shabasar merubeh, that there's tons of meat, af evirum mutarot. Then even evirum mutarot, because they're shechting so fast, and they need to keep the volume going, and they're chopping, they don't get a chance to cut it up into smaller pieces, they even cut it up into evarim, because there's so much demand, and there's so much meat moving around, that then even evarim would be considered to be kosher meat, not assumed to be neveh lot. Right, so now the Gemara begins. Lo tzurcha dela bahara bayit kodesh. So again, the same type of formulation, which is, shouldn't the Mishnah have said that the money you find on Har HaBayit is Kodesh? Why isn't it that the money on Har HaBayit is Kodesh? So Rabbi Ba, Rabbi Abba, the third generation Amora, B'Shem Rabbi Chia, the third generation Amora, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, the second generation Amora, Chazoka, She'ein HaKohen Motzi Min HaLishka Ma'ot, Ad Shu M'Chalalan Al HaBehema. So the big risk on Har HaBayit is that the money that's found there is going towards the Trumat HaLishka, towards the Bedek HaBayit. So these are monies that are Kodesh. That's the majority of money that's found up there is money that's in the treasuries that are there. That's the rove. So if that's the rove, all that money is Kodesh. So why don't we assume that the money is Kodesh? The answer is that the Kohen, and here it doesn't have to be a Kohen. Kohen is representative of whoever's running the treasury. In other places says it can be a Kohen, Yisrael, or Levi, as long as they are trustworthy, they are of stature, people who are the proper for or fitting for it being the treasurers. So over here, the Kohen, when he does this activity of exchanging the money to purchase something for a Kodesh, he does it, before he moves the money, he says, I'm transferring the Kedusha to that object, and then he moves the money. So as soon as the money is leaving the treasury, it's already Chulin. And so for that reason, the majority of money on Har HaBayit is going to be Chulin, because it doesn't leave the Otsar, it doesn't leave the treasury until it is Chulin. And so for that reason, we misdetermined that the money on Har HaBayit is Chulin and not Kodesh. So again, the people are bringing the money. If it is Kodesh, then they're not the rove, because the rove is in the Otsar, and then the Otsar, money that leaves the Otsar, is already Chulin. Number two is, it's very possible that the money that they're bringing is to give the Nidava. Not that it's Kodesh already, but rather that they're going to donate this money to the Kodesh, and only Makdisha once it gets there, because it's riskier to assign it to Kedusha before you get there, in case you lose it, something happens, gets mixed up with your other monies. So most people only Makdisha it at the moment that they're going to give it. Then they put it, give the Kedusha to it. So for that reason, the majority of monies that are found on Har HaBayit are Chulin, and that's why the Mishnah said they are Chulin. Basar Shinimtza, Rabbi Elazar B'Shem Robo Shayo. So Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, the second generation Amora, and the name Rabbi Oshayo is the first generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Se'a Dat Ta'un Ibur Tzura. Se'a Dat is the equivalent of Hesech Dat. Ta'un Ibur Tzura requires Ibur Tzura. So basically, what Rav Oshaya is saying, and we're going to say it in 1 second, is that the problem here in the Mikdash is something called Hesech Hadat. We have a machlok in other places with regards to Hesech Hadat. When it comes to Hesech Hadat in Kodashim, it's pasul. What does that mean, that Hesech Hadat, when you leave it, when you forget about it, when it goes out of your mind and somebody's not focused on it, taking care of Kodashim, it becomes problematic. Why does it become problematic? There are two possibilities. One is that it's a psul aguf. It's a milah b'kodeshim. The milah in kodeshim is that we want you always focused on it. And if you fail to focus on it, it becomes pasul and psul aguf. That means you can be nisraf right away. You can burn it right away. And number two is, even if Eliyahu HaNavi shows up now and tells us that it was fine, doesn't matter. Because it's psul aguf. It has to do with the fact that milah b'kodeshim. The other possibility of Hesech Hadat is that we're worried. If you have Hesech Hadat from the basar kodeshim, that something tamei came into contact with it. And we just don't know. So it's, in the end, it's really a safek, because Hesech Hadat generates that safek. So that's the other possibility. Now, in that case, if Eliyahu HaNavi comes and tells us it's tahor, then we wouldn't worry about it. Number two is, you wouldn't be able to burn it right away. You would require ibur tzura. Ibur tzura means that you leave it overnight for lina, in order that there's another psul, a psul aguf, that is associated with it. Now, ibur tzura comes from one of two possibilities. Is ibur tzura to means that it loses its shem kodeshim because you made it into notar. That's the way that most of the Rishonim say it. The other Rishonim that suggests ibur tzura literally means that becomes in a ra'ui l'achila, in that they left meat overnight in their day. They didn't have refrigeration. The meat overnight already started to go bad by the next morning. It was no longer ra'ui l'achila. And that's what it means, ibur tzura, because now you've earned nisraf, because there's no way to eat it, and it is no tar. So therefore, in this case of Pesach Hadat, you need Ibor Tzura. So now we have Amar, probably should be over here, Amar Rav Hoshaya, the third generation Amora in Bavel. Well, it says here, Aleph Resh. It could be Amar Rav or Amar Rabbi. It sounds like over here that he is basing on the previous statement, and therefore it would be Amar Rav Hoshaya, which is the third generation Amora in Bavel, because he's trying to infer something from this. That Matnita Amar Kain. Our Mishnah suggests the same. He's trying to bring a proof to the statement of Rav Hoshaya from before, so it's most likely that it's why it's the Amora, the third generation Amora, not the first generation Amora. To Bar Tzurato, we'd say the Beitas Refa. Our Mishnah says, in the case where he finds the meat, when he finds the meat, we said, okay, if it's Evarim, it's Olot. If it's Chatichot, then it's Basar Korban Chatat. That's what the assumption is, or Hashem. It's Kodshei Kodeshim that the Kohanim can eat. Why can't they eat it? What does the Mishnah say? Tubar Tzurato. You leave it overnight, it becomes Notar, and you burn it. Why Tubar Tzurato? Must be because of Pesach Hadat. There's a problem of Pesach Hadat over here, and because of the Pesach Hadat, it requires Ibor Tzura. That's support for that position of Rav Hoshaya before, who says that Pesach Hadat requires Ibor Tzura. That's what our Mishnah is suggesting. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, the fourth generation of Morpher, is that really true? Is that right? So he suggests a different answer as to why you have to burn it in the Mikdash, not because of Pesach Hadat, but because Lachlo Einata Yachol. He can't eat it. Shemen Nitkalkel. Tzurato here doesn't mean tzura, but shemen Nitkalkel, notar. Turned into notar. How do you know the meat here? Maybe even if it's basar. Say it's basar, it's cut up into chatichot, so you knew it came in from a chatat. How do you know that it's a chatat from today, and not a chatat from yesterday? Could be either one. If it's from yesterday, then it's already notar, and it's basul to eat, because it's notar. So you have a risk here that this meat, yes, it came from a chatat, it came from a sham, but it's a good possibility that it's also notar. By the way, there's a missing piece here from the Mishami, which is, lissorfo, to burn it, in a tayachol, you can't do that. Shemalo nitkalkalu tzurato. Maybe it's not notar. So you're stuck here, you have a piece of meat that you say, I for sure think it's a chatat. Problem is, I don't know if it's notar or if it's on the day of the korban. So now I don't know what to do with it. So what do you do with it? Tubar tzurato. You leave it over until the next night, then it's for sure notar and you burn it. So what Rabbi Yossi is suggesting is, the fum kein tzarich meimar tubar tzurato, it said the Beit HaSrifah. That's why the Mishnah says it. So what Rabbi Yossi is suggesting over here is, the reason that in the Mishnah it's tubar tzurato is because of the safek. It has nothing to do with Pesach Hadat. It's a safek. I don't know what to do with this meat because I don't know what it is. Is it notar? Is it good meat to eat? Since I don't know, therefore, Tubar Tzurato to deal with it. But it has nothing to do with Pesach Hadat. And you can't prove anything from the Mishnah with regards to Pesach Hadat. And that's what Rabbi Yossi says over here. And that's the two possible reasons about why you have to leave over that meat in the Mikdash. You can't eat it, and you have to leave it over to burn it. One possibility is that it was Pesach Hadat. The other possibility is that it's a fake notar. And so therefore you can't eat it, and you need to leave it overnight. So those are the two reasons as to why you can't eat the meat in the Mikdash. Alright, next. Nimsabik Bulim. Rabbi Krispa was a third generation Amor from Eretz Yisrael. B'shem Rabbi Yose B'Rabbi Chanina, second generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael. Evarim Nivelot Lokin Alehem Mishum Nivela. If you find out in the Gvulim Evarim, which we said before shows or is an indication that they are Nivelot, if you eat it, you get Malkot. So that teaches us basically that you're very certain that it's Nevela. You're so certain that it's Nevela that if someone eats it, you would give him Malkot. Matznita Namra Kain. Our Mishnah supports that understanding. Why? Because it says, Evrei Nevelot v'chatichot mutarot. It says that the Evarim are considered to be Nevelot, and the Chatichot mutarot. Chatichot mutarot. When it says in our Mishnah that the Chatichot, you find cuts of meat, doesn't it mean lo mamash? Doesn't it mean literally you can eat it? And if that's the case, Udekavata Evarim Nevelot, no kimaleim mishum nevela. If you think when it says mutar in the Mishnah, you can eat the meat that you find because we assume that those Chatichot are really basar, and therefore, someone will only put in that effort if it was kosher meat. If that's the case, then you can eat it without any qualms, without any reservations. That means we think it's vadai kosher meat. That means if in the comparable case by nevela, then we would say the same thing. Then the nevela, vadai, we think it's a nevela. If we think it's vadai nevela, then you're going to get malkot for it being nevela. And based on that, he says there's support for that statement in the Mishnah for this idea that Rabbi Krispa says that you can get malkot for eating such a nevela. Rabbi Krispa, B'shem Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Now we have another memra from Rabbi Krispa in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Imayu machrazot mutarot. If they are strung together, they are mutar. So over here again, the question is, someone expended effort. Someone expends effort, they only do that when there's value in the object. So again, if you have chatichot, which means that it was cut up into smaller pieces into what the butcher would normally do, Someone expended effort. They'd only do that if they can sell the meat. That means it must be kosher meat because somebody invested time in it. That must be kosher meat. When it's cut up into Ivarim, that's a gross way of cutting. That's not a big investment in time. That's just to get rid of it because you can't, you want a whole carcass here to deal with. Therefore, you chop it up to get rid of it. So there we say the person didn't invest time. We assume that it is a nevela. On the other hand, if you find a varim that are then strung together, I have a similar concept in Bava Metzia with fish. If they're strung on a string, somebody made an effort to do that. They expended the effort to string them together. Why would you string them together if they're nevelot? It has no value to you to keep them together or to have them to store in that way. The fact that somebody expended the effort already makes them equivalent of chatichot. Since it makes them equivalent of chatichot, they'd be mutarot. And that's what Rabbi Crispa says the name of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina. Now we move on to something that we found in the Bavli as well. What's interesting over here is that the Bavli knows of this Braita that we're about to quote over here, but only has half the Braita. The Bavli only quotes half of it every time, does not quote the first half, only the second half of it. Which is, Teisha Chaniyot Mochrot Basar Nevela. There's 9 stores in the city that sell non-kosher meat. V'chad Mochoret Basar Shchuta. And one sells kosher meat. Nitchafulo Choshesh. If he doesn't remember, he bought meat from one of the butcher stores, and doesn't remember which one, choshesh means you have a problem. Here, we assume it came from the non-kosher one. Lenitzet, if you find it out on the street, you find a piece of meat there, ochina chararov. Go after the majority of them here are non-kosher butcher stores. So again, here is in the Yerushalmi, this piece is not found in the Bavli. The next piece is found in the Bavli, which is, Teisha chaniot mochrot basar shchuta. 9 stores are selling kosher meat, v'chad mocheret basar nevela. And one of them is selling basar nevela, non-kosher meat. Nitchafu lo choshesh. If he doesn't remember which store he bought it from, then he's choshesh. We don't know. Can't eat it. That is what the equivalent of what the Bavli calls kol kavua kemechsa mechsadami. Anything that comes from a fixed location is like mechsa mechsa. So here we're dealing with a fixed location, which is the butcher shop. There we assume that it's mechsa mechsa. It's a 50-50, despite the fact that the majority are kosher butcher stores. Lenimtzeit, if you find out on the street, ochim achar rov, you go after the rov, that's the equivalent of the Bavli, it's called the parish, meruba parish. Anything that comes out of the fixed locations, then we assume that it came out of the majority. Rav Chanan in the Kovetz Shurim discusses this, that if you look at it logically, there probably should not be a difference between called the kavua versus called the parish. And there he discusses about possibly being gzer takatuf, because otherwise, in terms of logical argument, it shouldn't be so different when it's dealing with the kavua versus the meksa versus kol the parish. In the end, they both left somewhere that is the majority, and you have a safek about what is the majority or not. But that's what we discussed when we did this sugya in Psachim. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Animtza biyad nachri kenimtza beplatya." You find meat in the hand of a nachri, it's the equivalent of finding it out on the street. So if you find meat out on the street, what was the din? Hochim achara rov. You go after the rov. So if a nachri is carrying around meat, you can assume that he bought it from the majority of stores that are here. Rabbi Lozar Beribi Chagai. So Rabbi Lozar Beribi Chagai, who is a fifth generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael, having Mesamach the Rabbi Mano. He was helping Rabbi Mana along. Rabbi Mano is also fifth generation Amora. But we have this many times in the Bavli, which is people of Chashivut, of standing. They didn't walk around alone. They had somebody that accompanied them. No, they accompanied them, they leaned on them. So you see that some today with the Admorim, they carry a cane around with them and they lean on someone else's arm. It's a sense of chashivut. So that's here. This Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Chagai was supporting Rabbi Mano. And so then he poses a question to him. He saw this non-Jew cutting a piece of his horse off. And then he went out to sell it. So he cut a piece of meat off his horse and then he went out to sell it. According to the din that Rabbi Yochanan just presented over here, if you see a guy carrying around meat, we assume it came from the majority. Now we're looking at a goy. He cut a piece of meat from his horse, and we see that's not the case. It's not kosher meat at all. Amalei hadahi damar Rabbi Yochanan animtza biyad nachri kenimtza beplatya. So it says, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say about this? When you find meat in the hands of a nachri, it's the equivalent of finding it out on the street. And over here, I see this nachri. If I go up to him now and I buy that from him, I'm buying horse meat. Now, how does Rabbi Yochanan's din stem with the maisa that I'm looking at right here? He says, I'm like, Kain Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi. So this, Kain Amar Rabbi Yossi. This is what Rabbi Yossi, a fourth generation Amora. And here the title Rabbi afterwards is because Rabbi Mano used to call Rabbi Yossi his Rebbe. He was his Rebbe. So he gave him that extra title of Rabbi. So he says, Kain Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi. In most, here we have it actually left in the Yerushalmi. In many places in the Yerushalmi, they didn't know what to do with it. But it said Rabbi again, but there's nobody Rabbi there, and it's obviously not talking about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The answer is that it was an accolade that he gave to his Rebbe, and that's why it's there. But in many places it got erased or changed, but over here it was actually preserved. Vehein shira'u oto yotzei mi, it should probably see me makilon shel Yisrael. We saw him come out of the Jewish shechthouse, the Jewish butcher. So the answer to your question is, yes, Rabbi Yochanan said this, but you need some other piece of evidence over here. The other piece of evidence is you need to see him emerge from a kosher butcher shop or from the shechthouse. If you see him coming out of the butcher shop with deli, then you can assume that the deli, as comes from the robe, comes from the Jewish butcher shop. If you see him walking around with deli on the street, you can't assume that that deli came from the butcher shop. Maybe it came from his horse. And so what you're seeing over here is something that does not fall under the rule of Rabbi Yochanan, because you didn't see him emerge from a butcher shop or from a shechthouse that was kosher. And so that's the din of Rabbi Yochanan, is qualified or limited to those times where you see the Nechri emerge from those locations. Now we have a case. Chad Bar Nash, Bitziporin. It was this individual in Tzipori. Azo by Mizban Kupad Mintabcho. He wanted to go buy meat from the butcher. Velo Yaivle. And he didn't give it to him. He wasn't willing to sell him the meat, whether he had a personal grudge or for whatever reason, he didn't want to sell it to him. So the guy came up with a great idea. Amalei lechad Romai, told one of the Roman officials in the city, Vaitilei, basically sent the Roman official in to buy the meat on his behalf. And then he got the meat that he wanted. He could buy it from the butcher, but he did it through an intermediary, this non-Jew. So Amalei, so of course, he couldn't let the situation go. Onasivt al korche. He had to poke it at him and tell him, I got it. I got the meat for you against your will, but I got the meat. He had to show him that he did get it anyway. Butcher can't let the guy have the upper hand, says, Oh, he was non-Jewish. I didn't give him the kosher meat. I gave him non-kosher meat. He was a Roman official. The Roman official, I saved the non-kosher meat for him, so you ate non-kosher. So then, Balifnei Rabbi, over here, came in front of Rabbi. Rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, because he is the authority. He's the Rav in Tzipori. So the case now comes before Rabbi. Amar. This guy, this butcher, doesn't have the ability to asser all the butchers in Tzipori. So whether that means that, if we don't believe him, he's just trying to make this guy miserable and tell him that he ate non-kosher meat, and it's about a personal vendetta, so we're not going to believe him anyway. We know that he has a reason to say this, even though it's not true. Or we can say, maybe he's right. Maybe he said it's a nevela, but his statement can't undermine the position of Rabbi Yochanan in general, which is that normally when a Nachri walks out of a butcher shop, we assume when the Nachri walks out of the butcher shop that he's carrying kosher meat. So this guy who states otherwise, okay, so then now he says it's a nevela, we'll have to worry about it. But that doesn't change the circumstances for every other butcher shop in Tzipori or for any other circumstance where a goy is walking out. So Rabbi says that this is a unique din or a narrow din, and therefore you can't extrapolate it, or he says not even a din at all. Here it's about a personal vendetta, it's not about the facts that are on the ground. So that's Rabbi's psak over here. This is a very interesting next piece of the Gemara, which is Rav Nachat Letaman. Rav went down there means to Babel. Rav, we know, learned originally in Eretz Yisrael. He learned by Rabbi Chia, his uncle, as well as by Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And then he goes to Babel and becomes the great leader of Babel, Rav. That's why his name is Rav, because of the Torah that he brought to Babel. And the significance of Torah in Babel was really started by Rav. So Rav, when he went to Babel, Hamtun Mekilin v'chamar elon. Hamtun, he saw them being Mekil, and then he was Machmir Aleihem. Now what he was Machmir on them for was Basar HaNitalim Min Ayayin. Basar that is not visible the whole time. Rav in the Bavli is the author of that position. Rav in the Bavli says, Basar SheNitalim Min Ayayin Asur. Meat that goes out of your visibility or out of your vision becomes Asur. Because we're afraid that if the meat left your hashkacha, oversight, then it could have been exchanged for something else. And you don't know what it is. That is Rav's position in the Bavli. We'll see again. Rav Sham is going to bring some stories, and then we'll talk about how the Bavli deals with it. But in the Bavli, Rav just says it as a din. There's no background as to what the din is. Here the Yerushalmi gives the din as something that Rav did in response to the activity in Bavel, that the people in Bavel were very makil. And he came to be machmir on them because he saw that they were too makil. They weren't keeping the dinim
ke'ilchato. In the cases that's
not called basar min talim in ayin over there. The Gemara in the Bavli asks. The Gemara quotes all these cases from the Yerushalmi and asks in the Bavli, what does Rav do with it? There the Gemara says that goy shiny. That by goy it's different because it's not called basar shenitalim in ayin. What's clear from the Bavli is that basar shenitalim in ayin We're worried about not active switching, but switching by an animal, like an orif, a bird that came in and switched it. Or it got lost in the water, and then it got washed up, and there was another piece of meat. It's clear in the Bavli that that's what they're worried about, but the Goy himself, we're not worried about him swapping out the meat. If you see him emerge from the kosher butcher shop, you saw him come out of the butcher shop, it wasn't Italim and Ayim because it was with the Goy the whole way, and therefore it's not problematic. That may not be true in the Yushalmi, but at least in the Bavli, that's how they deal with this problem. Chad Barnash, Azil, there was an individual who went, Boi Mishizga Iskufite Begonara. He wanted to rinse off his meat in the river. Whether it's rinse himself off in the river or rinse off his meat in the river. He forgot it there. So whether he went into a bathe and he left his meat on the shoreline and then he left without it, or that he washed the meat and then he left it there after he had washed the meat, he left a piece behind and went away. Chazar by Mintzvina. He came back. Chazar by Mintzvina. Came back and he wanted to find it, to collect it. Amalei Rav Asur Lach, that is Asur for you. Dan Amar, because I would say, Hai Shataf Naro, what meat that you left behind was washed away by the river. Vaite Chure de Nevela Taktoi. And now it was replaced with another piece of Nevela that washed up on the shoreline. How do you know that the meat that you're picking up is the same piece of meat that you left behind? That may not be the case. Next case, Chad Barnash, Hava Mahalik Meshuka. He was walking through the shuk, tying kupad. He was carrying a piece of meat. Atat Daito. Daito is a daya, is a vulture of sorts. It's one of the non-kosher birds mentioned in the Torah. Vatafte mine vitalakte. Grabbed it from him and took off with it and dropped it somewhere else. Azal. Again, here it's Chazar, Azal. Boi Mintzvino. He wanted to go pick it up. He saw a piece of meat that was dropped by the bird. He went to pick it up. Amarle Rav Asur Lucha. You can't pick it up. Dana Amar, because I will say, Basar Nivela Havotina. It was carrying non-kosher meat. Vitalikte, and it dropped that. Nasbahu Achruna. And then it picked up another piece, meaning it picked up your piece. It exchanged the piece of Nivela it was carrying, it dumped, because it found a nice piece of kosher meat that it picked off of you. How do you know that the piece of meat that it dropped is the same piece of meat that it took off from you? According to the Bavli, according to Rav, basar that's found in the hands of a goy is mutar. That's what the Bavli says. That as long as we're assuming that there are kosher butcher shops. The Bavli in Chulin says that explicitly. According to the Yushalmi, the basar that's nimsa b'yad a goy is only mutar when he saw the goy actually emerge from the kosher butcher shop. So according to the Bavli, if the goy has the meat and the majority of stores in the city are kosher meat, you can assume it's kosher meat that's in his hands. According to the Yushalmi, you have to literally see him walk out of the butcher shop in order to assume that it is kosher meat. So that's part of the Yushalmi does not go as far as the Bavli with regards to that. The second thing is, the case of the Bavli by the river is interesting. The case of the Bavli brings the same case by the river, but it says that he went back and found two pieces of meat. So there, Rav says it's asur. Now, according to the Bavli, what it seems from that, and that's what the Tosafot is midayek out of the Bavli, which is only because when he went back, he found two pieces of meat there that it was problematic. Had he found the one piece of meat, the assumption would it was the same piece of meat. The Yushalmi does not learn that way. The Yushalmi says here, even if it was one piece of meat when you back that went back there, it is still problematic. The last thing is, this basar nitalim and ayin. It's clear here from the Yushalmi that Rav innovated. Basar shenitalim bin ha'ayin was Rav's response to a situation in which people were being makil. They were not taking the law seriously or not taking the law seriously, and therefore he put it into a place. In the Bavli, Rav makes the statement. Rav is the source for basar shenitalim and ayin in the Bavli, but the Aruch HaShulchan points out that it must be that Rav did not make up the din there, but it came from earlier sources. Because the Gemara in the Bavli then starts asking questions from the Mishnah, including our Mishnah over here. And they start asking from a Mishnah. Why would it be relevant to ask from Rav from a Mishnah if Rav was the innovator of the Gezerah? Right. If he's Gozer, Bashar Shnitalim Ayin. Okay, it's in the Mishnah. That's right. That's before my Gezerah. That's not what the Bavli says. The Bavli asks from the Mishnah and gives answers, which shows you that they think that it came before Rav or was a more Kadum type of Gzeiras. So that's Aruch HaShulchan's Diuk out of the Bavli versus the Yushalmi. He says it wasn't Mechadishit, that he just brought the Gzeira that was already in existence. Again, so he suggests that Bavli's Din suggests that it was much earlier than Rav versus Yushalmi, who thinks that Rav was the one who brought Basar Shnitalim and Ayin into existence. The last thing is, we talked about different cases where you could solve the problem of Basar Shnitalim and Ayin. One of them is with the goy in the Bavli, as long as the robe of the butcher shops are kosher. The other way to do it, which the Bavli mentions over there, and it's an important din, is with wrapping, with sealed meat. If you have a double wrapping on the meat, and then there's a clear indication of siman on the meat, that's a way to get rid of basar shenitalim and ayin. And that's why it's so important today to have the wrapping around the meat and to have the plumbas in the meat for all those reasons because of exactly this issue, which is that it goes into the truck, it goes in different places, basar shenitalem in ayin. You can overcome the problem of basar shenitalem in ayin by having it be wrapped. Same thing with deliveries. We have this with regards to deliveries, they're getting swapped out. How do you know that the meal that you got from the restaurant is the meal? It's for the same idea that we're not afraid that he's going to swap it out because it has a seal on it and it has the wrapping which he can't replicate. So that is the solution, the Bavli, to the problem of basar shenitalem in ayin. Okay, we'll stop over here.